look this morning at one of the most wonderful psalms, and there are plenty of them, but Psalm 139. But I want to just ask you a question. It's rhetorical, you don't need to shout out at me. It's one that you probably won't want to shout out to anyway. Have you ever felt like you've not been noticed? Have you ever felt like you've been overlooked, maybe? Or just completely ignored? I'm certain, to be honest, that at some point in our lives that we've experienced this. Shane watched me yesterday, whilst we were on teas together, be ignored several times. And he was like, wow, this is like a going trend. I was like, Shane, this is just how it is. It's just... Clearly you're not that bothered, but I was sad at the time. I was sad. But we often, in our lives, experience these moments where we are ignored. And it can feel horrendous in the moment. It can feel like complete rejection. And it's not fun in any way, shape, or form. Yet, I do think that if it lingers, it can lead to real sadness. Feeling overlooked, even ostracised, put out onto the outskirts of society, where you feel like nobody cares, nobody is interested, nobody sees me. And we all want to be seen, don't we? That might be the reason I've worn glasses this morning. We all want to be seen. Yes, we go our lives, about our lives, trying to fit in, not to almost get noticed, but we also want to be noticed. We don't want to be noticed, but I do want to be noticed. Because if I'm not noticed, nobody cares. And if I'm not in the midst of what's going off, nobody wants to come and see me or talk to me. Often blending in is our goal. But in reality, if we're not noticed, if we're not seen, well, who will love us? Who will care for us? Who will care about us? Who will take time out to see us? And sometimes these moments happen. Sometimes we feel overlooked. Sometimes we feel lonely and separated, like no one sees us at all. I'm going to put a picture up on the screen as if by magic or of my own merit. There it is. Thank you. There's a picture on screen, and this picture was taken in 1828 of the Boulevard du Temple in Paris. Paris, you're welcome. And certainly, that is what Louis Daguerre, also French, set out to photograph. He set out to photograph this boulevard so that he had done, as if those that will go away and look at Louis Daguerre, you'll be able to see that he has a particular style of photography which was brought in so that pictures could indeed be taken of this sort of thing. Yet, as though that boulevard picture is wonderful, and I'm sure you're all perusing it now instead of looking at me, this picture is believed to be the first picture taken of a human being. I know. Now, I'm no photographer. You may have noticed. I don't think I've ever really taken a photograph. We had an awkward moment in Sicily when we were on holiday of a family saying, would you mind taking our photo? And they presented the phone to me. It was like, I won't, but my wife will. Because nobody wants their heads and all the sky, do they? No? Well, I didn't think you did, but I'm unconvinced about you lot this morning. So I'm not a photographer at all, but what I do understand is that there is a need for exposure. So in order for the light to travel through the lens to get a picture, in order to develop, or for the cord, your lightness, the cord to develop, and that takes a while. Now, in reality, for this picture here, this took around 10 minutes in order for the light to travel through and the picture then to be set on the cord and immortalised forever, okay? That's how it works. Now it's a flash and it happens in an instant, and you can slow your shutter speed down I know, I read that. But nevertheless, Louis Daguerre took this photograph of this boulevard in Paris. Now, what seems to be an empty boulevard was actually a hustling and bustling boulevard. There would have been horses and carts. There would have been hundreds of people up and down the street throughout that 10-minute process. This is one of the most busiest boulevards in Paris. Yet, only two people can be seen, and that was by complete and utter accident. Now, in the bottom right-hand corner, for you, the left-hand corner, because I'm stood the opposite way, so over here, okay, if Alistair goes to picture two, just as simple as that, he's very good, it does take him a while. We've zoomed in a wee bit, and I'll turn, just for effect. You see just here, look, there is a guy with his foot up, you see him on the street corner, and somebody in front of him sat on a box. There is a gentleman there, a gentleman, nonetheless, having his shoe shined. Now, we can only imagine that this shoe shining process took longer than 10 minutes. And he's not particularly moved. If you see the young lad that's on the box, he's a little bit blurry because he's moving. But the guy who stood with his hands in his high pockets, I know they had pockets back then as well, it's incredible. He's having his shoes shined. Getting someone to sit still, indeed, for 10 minutes hadn't really caught on. So the old photograph, you know the family photograph? You know the one? They call it Instagram for a reason. Because if you don't take the photograph in the instant, actually what you do see is complete and utter chaos if you've got children. Instagram is a necessity if you've got kids. So sitting still for 10 minutes wasn't really a thing, it hadn't really caught on. But unintentionally, these two have been immortalised on film, even when everything else was missed and nothing else was seen other than the boulevard and the buildings themselves. Psalm 139 is an absolutely wonderful psalm. And the reason that I've shown you that this morning is so that you can draw in your mind to what we've got here. David says this, "You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. There can be many reasons why we feel the way we do sometimes. Lonely, isolated, separated. Yet David here records for us words that can bring us peace and assurance as believers. The church, we are never alone. We are never, ever alone. And our God knows us. Verse 1 and 2 is so profound. It's so clear. It's irrefutable what David is writing about what God knows about you and me. He says, "You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways." It's just a statement to say, God, you know me. You know me. Every bit of me. Even the bits of me that confuse me, you know them. You know me completely. And as Christians, that should blow our minds even more. Because the reality is, he knows you and he still loves you. I find that staggering. Not for you, because you're all right. I mean me. He knows me and he still loves me. He knows me completely. He knows us, yes. He sees us, absolutely. And David alludes to the realities of what God is, his omniscience and his omnipresence. He's everywhere, all of the time. Where can I go from your spirit? Verse 7. Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. David is saying, God, you're everywhere, all of the time. You know me completely, and I cannot get away from your presence. You are everywhere. Church, that should bring us such comfort. He knows you. He sees you. He loves you. He is everywhere all of the time. He knows us. He loves us. And he is always there. In the noise, he's there. In the silence, when it feels like there's nobody around, he's there. In the difficult moments that we go through, in our head, in our heart, our physical struggles, our emotional struggles, he is right there with us. You only have to go back a few psalms to read, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." And it goes on and on and on, saying the same thing over and over again. Because God is attentive to you. He loves you. Matt, how do you know? I know because he gave his best for you. I know he cares and he loves you even though you're you, because he gave his very best in the Lord Jesus Christ for you. He gave his very best. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take our place on the cross. Even though he searched me, even though he knows me completely, he sent Jesus for me. The same is for you. He knows you completely. He sent Jesus for you. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. And you might be here this morning and you don't know the Lord as your own personal saviour. You might think, well, this sounds all a bit crazy. How can he possibly know me like this? The Bible tells us that he put the stars into space. Which do you think was harder? He knows you. He created the world. He made you. David says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb. Before a word is on my lips, you know it completely." That frightens me sometimes. But again, still he loves me. Still he sees me. Still he cares about me. And still he would send his best for me. David knew that even in his darkest moments, the one who knit him together in his mother's womb was still right there with him. Through his struggles and his difficulties, through the moments that life throws at us. As per the picture, church, he sees you. And there's so much rushing around. There's so much chaos. There's so much noise. And everybody else seems to be about their business. He sees you. And there's another side of the scale. Those that are rushing around. There's another side to it. Maybe you're so busy, it's all just a mad rush. And that can be the case, certainly when the kids are at home. Everything's just chaos. Everything's at 100 miles an hour. And we don't have time to think about what's going on or what's happening. The weeks and the months just seem to mould into one. And the challenge for us then, church, is to take time to pause. It can wait. It can wait. Just sit and pause. Because in that moment of quiet, something happens. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Because in that moment of quiet and pause and reflection, we start to realize who we are. We start to realize that God loves me. We start to realize that he cares, even when I think he doesn't, because I've been so busy and I've been so preoccupied with everything else that I've forgotten. That when we pause and we're still, he sees us. He's attentive. And we start to process. And we say, "God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you care about me. Thank you that you would send your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take my place. Thank you, God, that you love me enough to give your best for the worst of me." Verse 23 and 24 of Psalm 139 are a real challenge to us. David says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He sees us. He knows you. He's with us. He's behind. He's in front. He's beside. He is all around us all of the time. We are surrounded by him. Surrounded by his love. We are never, ever alone. He'll never leave us. We are his. And that is our assurance, Christian. And you can have that today if you don't yet know him as your own personal saviour. You can ask Jesus into your heart. It's as simple as saying, "Lord, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. Please come into my heart and change me from the inside out." And the Bible tells us from that moment, we receive the Holy Spirit and we are washed clean in the presence of a holy God, brought back into a relationship with him who sees you. Church, he sees us. Lord, we thank you that you see us. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take our place. And Lord, this morning as we've come together and worshipped you, Father, as we've lifted high the name of Jesus, we pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit might be working in lives. Father, we might know that we're not alone, that you're right there with us, that you see us, that you care about us. And Father, I pray that we would just take that to our hearts. Father, we would understand it and know full well that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Father, all of those things that get in our way, that can take our focus, we pray, Lord God, that you would help us to sit and reflect in the quiet and to bring our praise and our adoration to you. That, Father, we would be still and we would know that you are God. So, Lord, I pray a blessing on this church, each individual, each family represented here this morning. Father, may you just bless us. May you see fit, Lord, to bless us so that we might be a blessing to those around about us. Father, as we have heard already today, that we would have joy in our hearts and we would be rooted and established in you. Father, bless us, encourage us, speak to us, we pray. We ask these prayers in and through our Saviour's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.